we just flesh time always?
Yeah, I'm waiting for this thing to finish.
Okay.
So, Father, right now, Lord, before we start worship, Father, we just come before you right now, and we ask you, Lord, just purify our hearts, Lord. Anything that we have going on, Father, if there's things that we were irritated throughout the week, Lord, Father, if we were the antagonizer, Lord, forgive us. Father, help us to have joy. Lord, I find myself lately just crying out to you. I just want that excitement again, Father. And, sometimes we go through these valleys, Lord, but no matter what, Father, we are always going to keep our eyes on you, Father. Help us to run to you for everything, Lord. And we pray that this morning we just have that amazing joy in our heart, Father, and help us to praise you. Amen.
I'm waiting for it to cool down enough so it doesn't burn my mouth.
No, that's our only time.
Sometimes when we don't feel the love, Lord, I think it's our flesh getting in the way and allowing it because we remind ourselves of all the bad things that we've done, Lord. And we think, I can't possibly be loved. Sure, that person can, but not me. Father, you've come for all, Lord. You've come for the sick, Lord. And when we're weighed down with sin, Lord, we are sick, Father. And you want to heal us. And Lord, I just pray that we are able to understand how you look at us, just like how we look at our children, Lord. They make mistakes, but we are overwhelmed with love, Father. And that's how you look at us and how you think about us. Just as Buddy was saying this morning, Father, just when he looks at the stars, he just thinks about you. Father, we can see you in everything, Lord, from the way the animals are flying in the sky to, you know, you always talk about nature, about how we just don't need to worry about even the clothing that we wear, Father, because you dress the lilies of the field and you take care of the birds, Father, and how more precious are we. Father, help us to recognize just that glory in everything that we see, Father.
Thank you.
what an amazing thing that we have to look forward to, Lord. No more sorrow, no more pain. And even now on earth, Lord, you can just heal us from that, Father. I know there's a lot of stuff that I've been through, and you know, I can share with my kids. And right now, it just seems as I speak about it, it's objective. I'm just telling a story, and there can be emotion out of it. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've healed me, Father. And I know that there's still some places of healing that I need, Lord. But I know that even here on earth, Father, when we have that healing, that sorrow can be taken away. But what an amazing thing, Father, for us to look forward to in heaven, where we don't have to worry about the ones that we love going away, or just any sorrow, being hurt, or sickness, or anything, Father. We get to be with you for all eternity, and praising you, and just, I can't even imagine more. But I thank you for something to look forward to. Father, just help us to praise you, Lord, and just to our last dying breath, Father. And even in that, Lord, I know that when I'm on my deathbed, Father, I will cry out the name Jesus and even have my last words be a testimony. Father, I pray that you lead us today. Lord, I just pray that you be with Darren, Lord, as he's teaching your word, Father. Speak through him, Lord. Just anoint him, Father. And I pray that we have open ears and an open heart. Father, help us to have a broken heart, Lord, to learn from you. Amen.
Everybody.
Good morning.
Top of the morning here. Yeah. Wow. Hey, that'd be really super. Super duper. Oh, good. Can you hear this second? Bible would be super. Without it, I feel naked. Well, this morning, we're going to start off. Somebody last night sent a message to me in Hebrew, Hebrew word for breath or wind, and it was ruach is the Hebrew, and so I just felt led pray that over this congregation. I know we've got different folks gone, and I want to pray for them too. Sorry, and for those of you who are new and wondering what I'm doing with stammering, I'm actually trying to pray and ask the Lord different questions along with me talking. So let's just stop and let me just do that right now. Let's just pray together, okay? Father God, we just pray for your breath, Lord, your ruach, Lord, your Holy Spirit to flow out to your people, Lord God, to encourage, to give correction, to give understanding, to give uplifting, to give life, to give purpose, to reorient thoughts, to give, to lift eyes, to lift heads, to clear vision, to give focus, Lord. Your breath, Lord, would bless your people, Lord God. Your spirit, Lord God, would move amongst your people, not just here on Sundays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays, Lord, and all the Bible studies, but on every day and every morning we wake up and every night, your breath would be flowing and our hearts would be changing and our minds would be uplifted, Lord, and we'd be about your business, Lord God. And so we pray for more of your ruach, Lord, to just be blown in and through us, blowing out all the dust that's within us, all the old ways, all the junk, all the piles that we have in our hearts and in our homes. Lord, you blow that away and breathe freshness and newness by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, in each one of us, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. For all that you're doing. We ask that you would do more within each one of us, within our church, within our school, within our body, within each one of us, our families, within me, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, that ruach will go through. Cleanse out everything that is not of you and breathe life, just like you breathe life into those dead bones in Ezekiel, Lord God, and they came to life. Lord, we pray for that same thing, that you breathe new life to people here today. Lord, we ask this week, this month, this year, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Share the other thing. No, I think that was just a word for me. All right. Well, let's go over a couple things before we get started. And Right. Absolutely. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so we got tons of bagels back there and bags to take them home with. So if you want that, just take it free in Jesus' name. Case for Christ, go see it in theaters. You know all this. She's going to be here in about another few weeks, so I'll hold off on that. Paul and Marcia Cowley, if you guys weren't here last week, this missionary family, they've been, if you don't know them, or you weren't here the last few times they've been here, they've been ministering in the inner city slums of Africa, in Kenya, and, I'm sorry, let me go back to that one, in inner city slums of Kenya, and literally millions and millions of people, 17 years they've been ministering there. And they're going to be coming here to share with us. They fly in about, they try to do it once a year if they can afford it. And each time they come and share with us. And just so you know, what we're doing, for those of you who don't know, every year we give Bibles. They train pastors to go into these slums. Most of these people will never get out of these slums. Millions and millions and millions of people will never get out. But God gives them hope within that. And you guys are providing Bibles. You're wondering, like, where did the tithes and offerings go and all this stuff? They're going, we're buying Bibles for them, for their pastors, for their leaders, even in the worst, poorest slums. And so we've got another 50 or 60 new students are going through the Bible college. Right now, you guys are buying Bibles for them right this minute. Well, maybe not this minute, but you know what I'm saying? Right now. And then after he comes and speaks in June, he's got another semester with another 60 or 70 people, and you guys are supplying new Bibles for them as well. So God's word is going forth, and so we're so thankful for that. I just want to encourage you. Okay, you guys know all this stuff, so we're just going to skip all this. So you know we got a Lumen Library, sermons online. If you'd like to pray here Sunday mornings, 9 or 9:30, see Gary, we'd love to have you come out and just pray for this community, pray for this church. We also have men's Bible study and dinner going through 2 Samuel. And that is this Tuesday at 6 p.m. Gary, is there anything that you want to share?
We're going to learn how to get back with God once you've fallen
badly. Okay, how to get back with God once you've fallen badly. And that's really a good time. So we have dinner at 6 p.m. and then Bible study 6:30-ish, maybe 6:45, depending on when we stop talking. And so also, girls, just if you want to sign up for this, we'll be this week, the week after, by Priscilla Shear, Breathe, the new Bible study. It's going to be starting May 9th. Did I get that date right?
Yes.
Okay, good. And so it's $15 each. If you can't afford it, we'll provide it for you free in Jesus' name. We just need to let us know so that we can get a book for you.
Here?
Yes.
Yeah, if they can let me know today.
Okay.
So I can start ordering books, and if they think about it throughout the week, they can just text me and let me know that they're going to be coming in and I need to order one. So it takes about 3 to 4 days to get the books in. So
sounds good.
I'm sunshine.
And Betty signed up. Betty told me last week.
Betty signed up? Okay.
So
yes.
That's officially me not forgetting. And if you guys think of it, there's a few people to pray for. Please pray for Susie and Carl, they're in Alabama on vacation. She's seeing an old friend, Tom and Gloria. They're at a marriage retreat. And as some of the kids were talking about, no, a marriage retreat is not somewhere you go to get away from your spouse. It's a way to get together in the Lord. Okay. No.
Some child came up with that.
Also, if you play for Billy, and his family, as he only has about 15 or 20% of his heart, for those of you who know him. He was in the hospital with pneumonia, and so he's still recovering from that, and he was hoping to be here today, but anyway, if you just pray for his family there, and also for Diane's husband, Joe, who had cancer, so pray for him and for salvation and all that. So there's lots of stuff, lots of people to pray for. I'm sure I've forgotten a bunch, but those are coming to mind. Okay, we also have youth group here. That'll be Wednesday, and Josh and Amanda, from 6:30 to 8:30, we'll have kind of food and fellowship and fun, and then the Word of God. Thursday is barbecue and Bible study, for you guys who want to come. That is such a great time. Oh, know, well, and I remember other people pray for it, and they're going to. And Shepherd's Up Christian School, you know, just pray God's timing. We could probably expand the school tomorrow if every time we try to expand, the county's like, well, hey, you got to redo everything every day. So just pray that God will give us favor and that he is timing. He's moved mountains so many times. Just pray for us on that as well. Okay, so I think that is all. We're going to have just a minute of testimony. Daryl wanted to share something before we do. How did you guys like Loving Hands? Please pray. Is it okay to mention that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, please pray for Flo's son, Anthony, who is at Loving Hands Ministry right now. I know some of you know him. He's the tech. You know, he's kind of a tattoo artist, had it all the way up, you know, from here to there. Been with us for a long time. He's now in Loving Hands Ministries, and we just love him so much. So just be in prayer for him as well. But it wasn't it a blessing just to hear what God is doing in and among his people? I mean, if anybody has anything they want to share, you are absolutely welcome. But I just want to encourage you. That's what God is doing. I just think of God. He's like, wow, I really love this church. So we all took him out afterwards for lunch. And then also, just so you know, we're supplying Bibles to them for recovering addicts as well. For those of you who don't know, we're also gave them a cash donation for Bibles, or if they had a more emergency use, that's also, your money is also going there. And we did that last week. So, and we've done that a few months back as well. So just so you know as well. Daryl, you want to come up or you want to do it back there? Whatever you're more comfortable with, I'm going to give you mic. Now, there's two things. I couldn't, my phone had a hard time getting the pictures of in the sky from my phone to the computer. So you got this one. You're going to have to describe the rest.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, he doesn't.
George? Oh, you're amazing. I sent it to George in the hope that he could possibly help me. We'll see if George gets it.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
I want to share something with you that happened to me. It actually started 2 weeks ago, last Monday. Some of you know I work with Carl and Josh at the Canner Fire and Safety. I do fire extinguisher inspections and things like that. And generally every Wednesday morning we have a stack of work orders that we go through. And I started picking through them, and I picked the third pile from the top. And that's only because I recognized one of the places was Onico, and that's right close to our office. And it happened to be... it just happened to be Onico First Baptist Church. It was their Christian academy for their kids and everything, kindergarten through 12th grade. So I had called her Monday morning to schedule the appointment and ended up leaving a voicemail. And come Tuesday morning, there was a voicemail on my phone, and she said 9 o'clock Wednesday morning would be great. When I got there, I had started at the front of the building and worked my way back through the school and everything, found two fire extinguishers that needed servicing, and the last one that needed servicing just happened to be in the kitchen. And she said, well, instead of walking around all the way around to the back, let's go out this door here, and that's where your truck should be. So we went out there, and while I was rummaging for an appropriate fire extinguisher to exchange for the ones that would do servicing, I heard a familiar sound in the air. It was familiar to me because I've been brought up around airplanes all my life, from the time I was a young kid and everything. And it was actually an old World War I, World War II reciprocating engine from a biplane. And without even looking up from what I was doing, I told the woman, Carol, the supervisor who was going around with me, that's a biplane. And she just out of curiosity started looking up in the sky for it and everything. And she looked back and said, oh, there it is, up over the trees. And I looked up, and I looked up in the sky, and I said, yeah, I see him. Oh, hey, he's a skywriter. And he was writing in the sky, a smiley face. And her and I were standing there talking, And I already let her know about my Christian background, my Christian beliefs and everything. And I was looking up at that and I said, smile. I bet you he's going to be writing out, Jesus loves you. And that's exactly what he said. Now, as we're going back through the building to put the fire extinguishers back into place, the school had actually stopped teaching. And all the students were out looking up at this. And Carol had discussed to me, or shared with me, that she had been going through many trials over the past couple of weeks. She is the superintendent for the schools. She's also responsible for putting out the school bulletin on the sign out front of the church. And she shared with me that that's the message that she had put up the night before. Look up and smile. Know that it was God, and thank Him. The reason why I'm sharing this is because my footsteps for that week were preordained by God. If I hadn't have shifted through those work orders and picked the third pile down, I would not have been the one to probably go to service those fire extinguishers at that school and that church that day. And like I said, I grew up around airplanes, and it was just, you know, oh, that's a reset. It's on World War I, World War II biplane. I doubt if anybody else would have known that. So I was honored that day by God to be part of His miracle for that woman, to show her that God was in control, and that was His sign to her that, yes, I am there for you, I am watching over you, and I will help you. I am in control. And that was an awesome honor for me to be a part of that and to see God's miracle in her life that morning. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Thank you, buddy. All right, I have two things. Can I give you the microphone and these scones? Just pass it back. Somebody will chow on.
Get them away from me.
I'm weak when it comes to sugar. Weak. Yeah. And no, I didn't read Tom's Bible study Thursday when he was talking about sugar because of that. Okay, just so everybody knows. All right, let's see if I can get back. Okay, so we are in the book of Romans, chapter 14. So let's go there real quick. If anybody needs a Bible, Joe, would you mind grabbing one? And Esther, can you grab some too? If anybody needs one, please raise your hand and someone will bring one right to you. If you don't have a Bible, let us know and we will give you a Bible free in Jesus' name. Because we love you, we love the Lord, we know that's how you're going to be strengthened and grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so Romans chapter 14, give me a second to get there.
Good.
All right. All right. So Romans chapter 14, I think we had one verse last week. So we're talking about the weaker and the stronger brother. It's not a super fun topic. But it's in the Word, and God has it for us. But it's an important topic. You know, a lot in the Bible, as I'm turning there myself, God speaks a lot about there being unity, about being there to be like-mindedness amongst the brethren. And if you've been a Christian for any long period of time, or on this earth for any period of time, you'll notice that sometimes Christians can be knuckleheads. And sometimes we can be not very unified and not in agreement on a lot of things. Correct? Okay. So, but Jesus wants that. He says in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together." In John chapter 17, before he was going to the cross, he prayed. He prayed, "Father, I want them to be one as we are one, so that the world will know that you are God." But still, unfortunately, we stumble a lot in that area. And a lot of times people will say in the church, you know, I wish we could go back to the old days, you know, in the church when everyone was so unified and so together. And I wish we could be back then. Can I just be honest with you? We're knuckleheads. There's no sin that's different now than was back then. We're still same stubborn people. We can be foolish. We can be selfish. We can be jealous. Those same sins back there are here now today. And so, you know, we mentioned like
For example, you know, talking about division, the first fight there ever was in the church started in Acts chapter 6. It was a bunch of Gentiles were mad at Gentile believers, were mad at the Jewish believers because their widows were being overlooked for food. They didn't think it was even. So there was fighting even back then. In Galatians 5:15, Paul had to write to the Galatians and say, stop talking bad about each other. Stop biting and devouring one another. Or you're going to die. Cut it out. He had to say in Philippians 4:2, there was a couple of ladies there that were causing a division in the church. And he begged them to be in agreement with each other. He's saying, you guys are causing division in the church. Stop it. I'm begging you. You know, in Galatians 2, roughly verse 11, you know, Paul had to actually go and rebuke Peter because, you know, they were all eating together, and then when Peter came in, he started getting a little legalistic and only eating with the Jewish brothers, special foods, and Paul had to go rebuke him publicly and say, what are you doing, man? Why are you getting all legalistic? Knock it off. You're causing people to stumble. And even in Acts chapter 15, verse 39, Paul and Barnabas had such sharp words, they had to split. One went one way and one went another. And so, it's very easy. The enemy is always there, right, trying to cause division. Okay? And so, that's what he wants to do. He wants to cause division in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your school, in your friendships. That's his main goal. And it amazes me how often he hits what's going on in your mind. You know what I mean? A lot of times we judge people's motives, you know what I'm saying, instead of their actions. But we want them to judge us by our motives. Well, I didn't mean that. You know, we have to be patient with one another. It says, in the first couple of verses, can I get someone to read like just two verses, and we'll kind of go through this. Yeah, Romans chapter 14. Just read maybe verse 1 and 2, if you would.
Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables.
Okay, that's good. That's good for now. So the first thing, you know, Jesus is telling us, listen, if you're a strong brother, if you're a strong sister, you know, accept someone's faith who's weak. Okay? That means, you know, if someone comes in and they don't know nothing about Jesus, maybe they're, you know, maybe they've got a drug habit, maybe they're sexually, maybe they're, you know, whatever it is, you know, you let them in. If they got pink hair, if they're tatted up from the top of their head to the bottom of their, who cares? They got piercings. You know what? If they're struggling with relationships or adultery, whatever, our job, guys, is to take them. Jesus wants people to come as they are. They want to come to him. First thing they should do, if they ever come to the church, we should love them. We should love on them. We don't know exactly where they've been in their life. And God says, you know what? I want you to accept the weaker brother. And that word for weakness, I want to make sure I got this word right here. This word for weakness down here is asthenēo, and it means weak, disabled, needy, powerless. And a lot of churches, when you go in there, if you don't dress a certain way, you know what I'm saying? Look a certain way. If you're not cool, if you're not whatever, you're being judged immediately. Oh, look at her. Look at him. Oh. You know what I'm saying? That should not be the way. Now, we had a bunch of people in suits, didn't we, here? Okay? Now, we're a very casual church, right? But we should also be judging them. So a couple of kids are like, man, the men in black are here. But you know what? You know, if somebody wants to dress up for the Lord, you know, as long as it's not done out of legalism, their reason for doing that was to honor their mentor who died recently. And so they, he was from that old Pentecostal, they wanted to honor him that way. That's great. You know? And so praise the Lord for them doing that. I dress down to honor the Lord. My heart is to honor. They wanted to dress up to honor him and to honor the Lord. I dress down. I had to dress up in a suit and tie all the time when I owned a computer company, and people gave me plenty of respect. Let me tell you, I was very prideful. I was very... I'll just keep it prideful. Okay? And so when I went into stores, when I went into restaurants, everybody fawned over me, and let me tell you, I loved it. They treated me differently. They treated me better. As well they should. Because I'm me. So, I mean, I still have it hanging in my closet. I gave so many away, I don't even know, but I still have 40 or 50 silk ties just laying there. You almost never see them unless somebody gets married. I told them off for that or a funeral. But so when I came to Jesus, I was like, I don't want to be that fake person anymore. I can manipulate people. I can do whatever I wanted when I had that. I don't want to be that person. Jesus wants me just as I am. So I purposely don't dress up like that because I'm honoring the Lord. Either way is okay, right? Because the heart intent is to honor the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay? It says, so accept those whose faith are weak. We talked about this too a little bit. Some may be babies. Maybe they're weak because they're babies. They're young in the Lord. They don't know any better. We've got multiple babies in this church, new babies in this church. None of them are eating filet mignon right now. None of them are bringing out a steak knife and chewing on meat and potatoes. They're sucking on the milk of the Word. They don't know. They have no strength. You know, your little baby is not going to, you know, get up and pick a fight with one of my teens. It's just not going to happen. Maybe he'll roll over. It's about all he can do. They're very weak. So are babies in Christ. They might be weak because of, or sick because of legalism or bad doctrine. Imagine if you've been told that God wants everybody to be healthy and wealthy. Imagine you're pastoring those millions in the slums. They love Jesus. They'll give up everything. They have nothing. Oh, but obviously they don't have faith, right? Obviously they're not blessed by God, even though God loved them and died for them. Can you imagine if you believe that? When the bottom falls out on that doctrine, you're going to be crushed. Maybe they're weak because they're malnourished. They don't get good, solid teaching in the Word. Maybe they're just lacking exercise or exhortation. They need a good swift kick in the pants to exercise their faith. They're sucking it all in, but they're not giving it all out. So we can be weak for many reasons. So don't look down on anybody. Accept them. Bring them in. And it says, without passing judgment on disputable matters. And that's a word that dialogamos. And that means, when it says disputable, some of your translations might say something different. It basically means opinions. Things where the Bible isn't clear. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And what Christians can do, what we all can do, is we want to feel all self-righteous. So if there's not something clear in the Bible, though, well, we want to feel pretty good about it. We're going to stand on that because we're going to be more righteous than anybody else. We're a Bible teaching church. Not an evangelistic church. Well, God bless the evangelistic church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Bible teaching church, too. You see what I'm saying? St. Augustine said, in the essentials, we have unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, we're to have love. So, you know, the goal is to find common ground on disputable matters, on opinions. You know, what are we fighting over? We talked about this. You know, we fight over dancing. You know, can Christians dance? I've watched some of you, and the answer is no, you can't. But obviously, some of you can. And you know what? If there's somebody here who wasn't being a distraction, sometimes when I'm worshiping, I'm just like, praising the Lord. That's okay. You know? Cars, Christian radio, Warren Wiersbe, I told you about that. You know, there was even a fight back in the old days when Christian radio was coming out because it says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So Christians were fighting. Christian radio was of the devil. Can you imagine that? Smoking, piercings, dress code, Bible verses. Oh, don't even get me started with Bible verses. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people mention end times. We fight over these, you know, how exactly are the end times going to work out? And if you don't believe this exact way, you're some sort of heretic. Or, listen, guys, the gifts of the Spirit, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I love you and thank you. I'm so glad you're here. God loves you. I do believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because I want all that God has for me. I believe that they're for me. We don't need to divide over things like that. Especially over somebody's eating meat or vegetables as a Christian. Right? We don't need to fight. He's like, this was a hot button back then. Right now it doesn't make any difference, right? Nobody's really fighting over that in the Christian church, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not many people are fighting. But Robbie and Jonathan, who are here, and they're doing missions work at Ringling and New College. We talked about, hey, we had the smoker. I said, hey, Gary and all these, we can bring out this. The smoker will have some pulled pork on the barbecue out there. They're doing a Jesus Week outreach. We provided them Bibles for that and stuff. And so I thought, hey, it's a great idea. And he's like, Pastor Darren, in that Ringling culture, you brought you know, all your guys with a smoker, meat, and barbecue. Maybe like, Christians murder! Meat killers! It would not be a good thing. So she's like, thank you for that offer, but we're not going to do that. But we don't want to battle between the herbivores and the carnivores. Now, you know, it's not saying in your Bible that, you know, one man's faith allows me to eat everything, another man's faith, who is weak, eats only vegetables. It's not saying if you're a vegetarian, you're weak. Okay? You might be more healthy than me. You know? What it's saying is, what is it saying? It's not talking about saying a vegetarian is a weaker brother. What it's trying to say is you're not more spiritual if you're a vegetarian or a meat eater. Do you know what I'm saying? That does not make you more spiritual. You eating meat, eating vegetables, this is going to make you more spiritual. If I go out as the pastor and have, you know, a Five Guys double cheeseburger with bacon and mushrooms,
which he doesn't do all the time.
Which I don't do all the time.
Yeah.
Is I'm not more spiritual or not more spiritual because of that. Or if I just ate lettuce. Yes?
I was going to say, this is a translation that I've got with some notes. I guess at the time there were pagans, different groups of people. That some were meat eaters, some were vegetarians.
Yes.
So just trying to bring these folks you know, into the fold to become Christians, you have almost have to.
Right.
Except both.
Yes, and now here's the thing. Again, we're talking about disputable matters, okay? We don't. There are certain things, Christopher Greta, there are certain things that are foundational to our faith. You know, Ephesians 4:4-6, it says that there is, for there is one body, there is one spirit. You are called to hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all. And living through all. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how many people come to the Father except through me?
No one.
Okay, that's non-negotiable. It's not like, well, you know, maybe a few could come through Sue Burke. You know, maybe, I belong to Home Fellowship Church. Maybe a few can squeak in that way. That's not a disputable matter. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation found in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then, yeah, anyway, that's not there. Yes, Sue, raise your hand.
I'm reminded, I'm thinking that back then, eating meat had the connotation with it that there could be evil spirits involved.
Yes.
Because they were meat dedicated to demonic forces. And I can remember years ago, long time ago when my girls were little, there was a big thing about cabbage patch dolls.
Uh-huh.
That they could have evil spirits in them because I can't remember why. You know, and to me it's the same kind of thing. I didn't care. You know, I didn't believe that a cabbage patch doll could contain an evil spirit, and if my kid brought one home, I wasn't going to freak out.
Yeah.
You know? But what I think that the Lord was saying is that your neighbor who's a Christian did freak out because she didn't have the same understanding of how spiritual things work, that it was not my place to look down on her.
Right.
You know, that was not in, you know, that I was to love her and let God mature her in his time.
Absolutely. Unless it's a clown. In that case, you can fully rebuke them. It's a creepy. Elijah.
I'm getting to the window.
Elijah.
Well, kind of there's not really any difference between eating fruits and vegetables and meat, because they're basically both alive.
Well, you know what? That is kind of funny. You know what? Thank you. I did see a bumper sticker one time that said, meat is murder. You know? And I thought about that, and I just thought about... What about those vegetarians? Little vegetables you're ripping out of the ground from the life-giving, sustaining soil and eating them alive. You know? See, some people can eat.
You are, though.
Some people can... You might be a vegetarian because you don't dislike meat, or you might be for spiritual reasons. You might be a vegetarian because you hate vegetables. You know what I mean? And you want to rid the world. We have to be slow to judge, especially as a Christian. It says here in verse 3, I don't know who was reading that. Was that Amy? You're going to read for another minute. And this just goes back to what Sue was saying. Would you read, let's say, verse 3 and 4 for us?
The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Okay, now think about this. Thank you. Now when it says, listen, the man who eats everything must not look down on, that word in Greek means to despise, to look at with contempt. You know what I mean? Like, man, I can eat everything. Who are you, Mr. Legalistic Man? I can't have a cabbage patch? What kind of loser Christian are you? Are you kidding me? You know, but it also says, that word look down on, it's the same word that Jesus used when he was telling the parable of the Pharisee who in Luke chapter 18, you remember that parable? He told the parable about the Pharisee who walked in and into the temple and said, "Oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, that I give, that I pray, that I tithe every week, Lord, and I'm not like these sinners and tax collectors over there. I'm so much more spiritual." And he's looking down on them. And the guy, the tax collector, the sinner, is just like, comes before the Lord, he couldn't even look up to heaven. You remember that story? He's like, "Lord, I'm so sorry. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to honor you." And Jesus said, it was the man who was humble and said, "Oh, I'm just a sinner." He's the one that went justified. The one who was looking down on everybody else, they said that he was in sin. So it says in Luke chapter, it's the same word, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, that same word to look down on, to despise, it's the same thing that Pharisee did. So we're not to do that. On the other side of the same coin, it says the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. So a lot of times, a younger believer hears stuff, or they see something on YouTube, or they get a piece of information, right? And if you haven't walked with the Lord, oh, they're standing on this. Oh, Christians, we should never play cards. You celebrate Christmas, Christmas tree, Easter. Oh, you can't get, you know, anything. You baptize in a pool instead of the water. Oh, you dip instead of dunk. You didn't fully immerse. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to rip my hair out. Okay, so we can divide over very, very silly, silly things sometimes. And so what he's saying is, if you're the more mature brother and you know that you can eat anything you want, don't look down upon that person, but neither should you, young gun, if you're all zealous but don't know any better, don't know what you don't know yet. Don't be all condemning these other people because they have the liberty in Christ. You know what I'm saying? It would be kind of like this. I wish I had somebody to do acting with. If there's a guy here who likes to do acting, you're good at it. I know I've got a couple girls here. I would love to talk with you. But picture this. Picture two guys. Okay, they're freshly saved, right? In Jesus Christ, right? You have Apollos. He's a Gentile believer, right? Loves Jesus. And then you have Jaime, I don't know, the Jewish believer, okay? So, and he's come out of a very legalistic background, you know, and the Jewish laws, regulations. Okay, so they meet each other in the street. Oh, hi, brother Apollos, my Gentile brother. Oh, hi, me, my Jewish brother. It's so great to meet you. Don't we have a great fellowship in Christ? Absolutely. Isn't Jesus awesome? Yes, our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And they're both thanking each other. So wonderful to be in Christ. We're new Christians. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And Apollos says, hey, Jaime, why don't you and your family come over to our house and have something to eat? Well, that's a great idea. We can have fellowship in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And Apollo says, oh, you are going to love it. We've got some lobsters and some crab with melted butter. Mm-hmm. And immediately, Jaime goes, oh, Brother Apollo, those are crustaceans. I can't. You know, I'm a good Jewish boy. I can't eat that. I don't want to dishonor the Lord. And, Paul's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Well, that's okay. Wait, we got some. You should see this rack of baby back ribs I got. They are amazing. We can throw it on the grill. Some, you know, sweet baby rain sauce. Brother, what are you talking about? That's from a pig. That's an unclean animal. I thought you were a believer. Well, I am a believer. I'm just inviting you over for dinner. He's like, I can't possibly eat a pig. It's unclean. It would offend me. That's offensive to me. Well, okay. Well, we don't have to have that either, Paulo says. I was down at the marketplace, and you know how they have all those fake temples to gods? Well, what they do is they sacrifice the meat back in those days, right? They sacrifice it to the false gods, and then they sell it. You get it at like half price. So I got me some prime rib at $2 a pound. I got some filet mignons, $2 a pound. We can cook out. You bought meat that was sacrificed to an idol? I can't believe it. I thought you loved Jesus. Well, I do love Jesus. Well, obviously, you don't even know the Lord if you're doing this kind of stuff. And so, Jaime walks by. I'm not coming to your house. Obviously, you don't really even know the Lord. And stops off because he's... And then Apollos is like, well, who are you, you legalistic thing? I have freedom in Christ. I can eat whatever I want to. Huh? And they're each looking down and condemning one another. Okay? Now, for those of you who know the freedom you have in Christ, right, we should be the more mature ones. Okay? We should be more patient with our younger, zealous brothers who don't know any better. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It says, it says in verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now again, I have to say this. Guys, in context, we're talking about disputable matters, right? Opinions, things that aren't solid in Scripture. This is important, because every Christian who's sinning says this one, don't judge me! Only God can judge me. I can do whatever I want. You ever heard somebody say that? Okay, listen, as a Christian, we are supposed to make
difference. I've read it on their shirt.
Okay? We're just not supposed to judge from a prideful, hypocritical standpoint. Do you understand what I'm saying? No. Okay, so he's saying no. But George, do you mind, could you cue up that little, I've got a little short film on that, and then I saw a couple of hands raised, and so if you can do that, let's turn off the lights. Hey, Kelly, can you get the lights back there? And we'll, Lord willing, get this video up. And then take a couple questions. Okay. Thanks, advice.
Judge not, that you be not judged. Does Jesus really say that?
Yes, he does. Matthew 7:1.
But do not miss the context. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't judge at all. He's saying don't judge hypocritically. Continuing on, he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Did you get that? First take the log out of your eye, and then take the speck out of your brother's eye. By this, the Bible is actually telling us that we're supposed to judge. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Proverbs 31:9, open your mouth, judge righteously. Matthew 18:15, tell your brother his faults. John 7:24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. 1 Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual person judges all things. 1 Corinthians 5:12, judge those inside the church. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible is useful for reproof. Now, we're definitely not supposed to be jerks when it comes to judgment. We also read in 2 Timothy that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, correcting opponents with gentleness. Titus 3:2 says to be gentle and show perfect courtesy to all people. The purpose is not to point out everyone's wrong so that we can show how much more right we are. The purpose is to point them to Christ, who forgives sin and gives eternal life. Know the Word of God so that we're able to instruct each other properly when we understand the text.
So did Jesus, when Jesus cast out the money changers, you remember when he did that? Right? They were ripping off all the people. Well, how would he know that unless he made a judgment call? Right? He saw clearly that they were ripping off the people. And he made a judgment. When he called the Pharisees, right? He called them hypocrites, actors, right? He had to make a judgment there. So we are to judge, in a sense, if my brother is doing something wrong. He says, if in Galatians 6:9, if anyone can see your brother or sister in sin, you're to go to them. Not in a haughty way, but you're to go to them to see that they may be restored, to share with them their sin, so that you can help them, pull them out of it. Does that make sense? So it's, you're not supposed to be judgmental in a jerky way, but we have to make some judgments as Christians. And so, especially in context, you know, who are we to judge someone else's servants on disputable matters? If somebody here goes to see a movie, you know what I mean, that's R-rated, are they a believer? Well, absolutely. If Passion was an R-rated, I love that movie. Dare I say it, The Matrix was an R-rated movie. We got to be careful. God spoke to me as The Matrix. We got to be very careful to judge things that aren't specific in the Word of God. Does that make sense? Okay, so he goes on to say in verse 5, one man considers one... Oh, actually, I'm going to give you one more thing here. I think I have the scripture. George hasn't backed up yet. I'll skip that. Here. Those are foundational things, obviously. Unless a man is born again. Okay. All right. Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 4:3... talking about, especially in disputable matters, says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. You know, somebody actually left this church recently in part because of how I dress. Now, they don't know that I'm doing this, but I dress down for the Lord, to honor the Lord. They just made a judgment in their mind, and the person said, well, the Bible says clearly that when we go to church, we're to wear our Sunday best. And the person here was very nice. He said, could you show me that in the scriptures? Where exactly would you say that? And of course, he was really nice, but of course, he looked up. He couldn't find it. And, I don't know where it is exactly. But that's okay. If that person wants to dress up, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to condemn them because that person wanted to dress up. You know, 1 Corinthians 8:8-9 says this. Food does not bring us near to God. Okay? We are no worse if we do eat and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that your exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. All right? Thanks.
And one might require more exercise.
Why are you looking at me when you said that? Tommy, Pat? Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Verse 5 goes on to say, to say one man is another hot button besides food back then. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special, and look what it says, does so, it says, to the Lord. That's our focus, is what we're doing for the Lord, okay? It says, he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to the Lord. And so, there are some folks that celebrate special Sabbath days. Like, what are some things that people celebrate today? Passover, maybe? Some folks celebrate Passover, right? Ash Wednesday, sure, right? What are some other things?
Good Friday.
Feast of Tabernacles, what?
Family reunion.
Okay. Well, we're talking about special days. There are some churches that if you don't worship on a Saturday, that's the, like the mark of the beast. Because that's the real Saturday day. And so one guy says, well, I think if you want to worship on Saturday, great. If you want to worship on Sunday, if we lived in a country where everybody had Tuesdays off, you know where we'd be having church on? Tuesdays. So we can't get wrapped around the axle on some of these kind of crazy things. In fact, in Colossians, go there real quick, because I want you guys, because some people really, and usually it's the younger brother who doesn't know any better, that's really zealous, so they appear to be more righteous, you know what I mean? You're got Sabbath day! You know, if you really want to keep the Sabbath, it's like when three stars go out on Friday, you know, when I was in Israel, I don't know if I ever shared this, but, you know, we had a hotel, I was on like the 14th floor at the Olive Garden in the middle of Jerusalem. And on the Sabbath, since you couldn't do any work, pressing a button was work. So I had to, whenever I wanted to go down, if I had to go down to the front desk or something, 13th floor, bing, 12th floor, they had it set up where I go down every single floor, all the way down, and then all the way back up. It's silly, funny.
So you literally sent me here in Colossians the other day when I asked you this exact same question about Sabbath day.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. I think it's Colossians chapter 2. Maybe I said 3. Give me just a second to go there myself.
Okay.
And if you want to read it, that'll be
great. Oh, I don't have it. 4. It's chapter 3?
Well, give me a second. Colossians chapter 2. You don't have it in your Bible? Your version?
I have it on my phone. 1 second.
All right.
If the Wi-Fi in here was a little faster, you know.
Ooh. Maybe if you type a little bit more.
Ooh.
Today, how do you like an app?
Bible? He's quick. Which verse?
No, I have no idea if you type. Let's go. Let's talk about. Can I have you read from verse 13 on, buddy, if you mind? I'm just having you read. This is in Colossians chapter 2. Because people can really get fussy. Oh, you don't celebrate this? Oh, it's just...
When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, worldliness, manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our sins.
How many of our sins?
All of them.
Okay, keep going.
Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were in force against us and which were hostile to us. And this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by nailing it to the cross. When he had disarmed...
Okay, just jump to 16, verse 16.
Therefore, let no one judge you in regard to food and drink or in regard to the observance of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Such things are only a shadow of what is to come, and they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what is foreshadowed, belongs to Christ.
Right. So you can stop there. So that means if you want to celebrate Christmas, well, brother, we don't know that that's the day Jesus was actually born. Okay. Well, that's the day I celebrate. Actually, I celebrate now Easter. Easter's really wonderful. Ishtar, brother. Ishtar. I celebrate his resurrection. Now, honestly, I celebrate his resurrection. Now, we have a nice dinner, but I celebrate every day Jesus' resurrection. You know what I'm saying? So don't let somebody judge you because of what you eat or drank or if
you a religious festival or a celebration or Sabbath day, those were just a shadow of things to come. Don't get in fights over it. It's dumb. Okay. Or do you have
to? Well, I was going to say, I know from experience that, like, getting wrapped up around things like this can make it so impossible. I've literally got myself wrapped up around things like this to the point that my Christianity became, how can I follow every one of these rules? And you can't.
Yes.
You can't.
That's the whole point.
I mean, if I were to lay it all out,
yes,
none of us are doing it. I almost can guarantee you nobody in here is following
every...
Right. But there's a lot of it in there, and I read it. I don't even know how to ask you this question right now.
Okay.
Like, there's so... Like, for instance, let me give you a for instance.
Okay.
In Acts, there was a part where they got James together with the people from James that were teaching them that
yes.
they needed to obey the law.
Yeah.
Keep the law of
yeah.
Moses.
Yeah.
And then there were some people saying, Peter was saying, and Paul was saying,
hey, you got to get circumcised.
You got to get circumcised, right. And then Paul goes in Galatians and says, well, if you get circumcised into the law, then Christ is of no value to you. So obviously he had the opposite take, which is exactly what you get out of Acts. In Acts, it says, tell the Gentile believers, don't eat strangled animals, abstain from sexual immorality, and don't eat, stop sacrificing to idols, which is exactly what you were just talking about. But then later on, I read that Paul says it doesn't really matter if they're sacrificed to idols. So what they're doing is what? If they believe that the idol is actually
yeah.
has power, that
yeah.
it's evil?
Well,
and if
yes, we'll get to that in a second. Because what they're trying to do, what he's, when you'll see this later in the chapter, what
uh-huh.
he's saying is that you're not to do anything to cause your brothers to stumble. So it's the law of love is to be in charge in some of these minor issues. And so we'll give you an example. I have the freedom to have a drink of wine if
right.
I wanted to. But I also know that as a pastor, you don't want to see me at a bar chugging down a brewski.
Right.
Now listen, I have the freedom to do that, but I purposely give that up. I caused somebody to stumble one time when I was younger. I was in charge of a single group, and what I did was went to a place called Sharky's. Great time, right?
Enjoy that.
And so it wasn't an event, singles event, but we went there with a bunch of singles. So what I did was I ordered a girly drink. What was it? A pina colada. This was many, many years ago. It was like a milkshake with onion. So I ordered a pina colada and I drank it. Didn't think much of it. I was a new on fire Christian, whatever, and charged the singles group. Well, somebody else saw it who looked up to me and said, oh. That's all I had. That's all I ever did. I only ordered one that one time, never any time others. I just did it once. And somebody saw me do it and was looking up to me and said, well, Pastor Darren's going to do it. I guess I can do it. And I'm going to order vodka and Coke, and then two, and then three. And then every time we went out, whether it was with the church group or not with the church group, he's pounding vodka and Cokes until getting drunk. Until forever, until he died. Now, I have freedom to do that. However, I choose not to do that because I'm obeying the law of love, as I don't want to cause anyone else to stumble. And so, if he'll say later on in here, if me eating that meat from that, I know that idol place is nothing. I know those idols are nothing. I serve the one true God. But if it's causing you to stumble, you know what? I'm not going to buy it there anymore. Now, it's having that law of love, thinking of others ahead of yourself. Now, also on the opposite side of that, you can get a legalistic person, and everything you do, it's so micro, you know, you're so under the microscope, you can do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been around somebody like that? It's like, everything you do is, you know?
I knew it to myself.
Yeah, so ultimately you have to go with your conscience towards the Lord on disputable matters. All right, Natalie, you raised your hand.
I think I was listening to John Corson do the Book of Acts, and the Sabbath on Saturday was the Jewish. We do get really nitpicky about the Sabbath, but it was a Jewish holiday. And so Paul would celebrate, because he was Jewish, he would celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. But then on Sunday, was really when the Christians were having their celebration there, and so then he would come and he would celebrate with them on Sunday. Yes. So the whole thing of, like, really from the beginning, the Christians really was on Sunday.
Yes.
They would do that.
Yes, but regardless, you know what? If somebody wants to worship on a Saturday, somebody came here, and I can tell by their, she was a young Christian, she was an older lady, young Christian, I can tell by some of the, you learn some of these verbiages that they used. Pastor, the Sabbath is very important. Oh, yeah, it is. And she was like, did you know? And I was thinking, Latter Days, or Seventh Day Adventists. I'm thinking, oh, no. And eventually she left because, you know, she was kind of indoctrinated, and I told her what the scripture says, and she didn't want to hear. But if she wants to worship on a Saturday, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to worship on a Sunday, neither is that wrong either. He goes, the bottom line, we do it for the Lord, the Bible says. You know, it says, whatever we do it for the Lord, to give thanks to God. And Galatians says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 7 in 14 says, none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. It says, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Don't worry about what God is doing in other people's lives sometimes. We're so thinking about someone else. I think of Peter, you know. He had denied the Lord, and he'd come back to him. Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. Do you remember that situation? He was cooking the fish, and he's like, do you love me, Peter? You know I love you, Lord. He said, oh, feed my lambs. Okay, I'll do it. And so now he's back on track. He's walking with Jesus. He's like, oh yeah, I'm forgiven and free and following Jesus again. I feel great. And he's like, yeah. Okay, wherever you want me to go, Jesus, yeah, I'm good. He's like, well, okay, what about that guy? What about John? And it says, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, hey, Lord, what about this guy? And Jesus said to him, look, if it's my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So listen, if your brother or sister wants to celebrate a certain day, or doesn't think a cabbage patch is a good thing, or whatever, you know what I mean? Just don't worry about those things. You follow the Lord. I'm going to skip that. Just for time's sake, I'm going to get a few more verses here. You guys can add any. It says this. It says, for this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. Why then do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? We will all stand before God's judgment seat. 2 Corinthians says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that which he's done, whether it be good or bad. For the Bible says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is to God. And when it says every person will stand before the judgment seat, there's two judgments the Bible talks about, for those of you who don't know. And I'll just kind of close out with this, just so that everybody knows. There's two judgments. Everybody's like, ooh. There's the great white throne judgment, okay? That's at the very end, all right? That's in Revelation chapter 20. That's when, you know, everybody's standing before Jesus. All the nations are before him, right? Everyone, you can read it for yourself. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? They're cast into the lake of fire, right? Forever. And it's all there. Now, there's another judgment that's for believers, and that's called... this one here, it says in verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ. And that word in Greek is bema or bema. And what that was in Greek, like, you guys remember the Olympics started in Greece, right? And they'd have the seat after you've run the race, after you've finished the competition, and you were to get your rewards, you know, whatever, first, second, the trophy, whatever they give, I don't know. Anyway, you would stand before them at the bema seat. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It wasn't, it has nothing to do with salvation. The bema seat has to do with your rewards. That was the place where rewards were dispensed. And so for a Christian, you've already been judged and found innocent. You have Christ's righteousness. This judgment here that it's talking about was for Christians. You know, why then do you look down at your brother? It's talking about Christians, and look down at him, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. In other words, you're going to get the rewards you're going to get from the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you understand? So it's not a judgment of, I don't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell, but what you... It's how much rewards you're going to get. The crowns you're going to get. The rewards from being faithful to the Lord. You know, there are... 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. And so there's going to be a time, as a Christian, when you're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, where he's going to give out those crowns and give out those rewards to you. And there are some people in this church that are far more faithful to the Lord than me. Maybe there's one of you who has a prayer warrior that's praying 10 times as much for me, for this church, this body, these people, and you're fighting. Maybe you're ministering on the phone all the time. You're being obedient to the Lord in this area or that area that we don't even know about. And God's, you're storing up those treasures in heaven. And that judgment seat is where you're going to receive the rewards of Christ. But be careful not to look down. He's going to talk about this in the next few verses. I meant to get to it, but just didn't. And we're already over time. The freedom we have in Christ, all that written code, that legalistic stuff that you read, buddy, it says it's been nailed to the cross. It's all done. But it's going to say, don't use the freedom you have in Christ to cause someone else to stumble. Don't try to talk someone into something that maybe they shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Don't use the freedom you have in Christ to cause it to be a stumbling block for someone else. So let's take a minute. Is there any other comments before we close? I'm going to pray. I'm sorry we went over. And I'm sorry I didn't get to the whole rest of it, which I really intended to. Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to say a note on the judging and judgment. Like, either we do judge for yourselves, do judge this, or do not judge, don't judge, you know, and a lot of people are going to think that that's contradictory. I know people struggle with that, but on the do judge, I would say it's more like making an assessment, or
yes,
a determination, or a discernment, you know, when you judge for yourselves. That doesn't mean, when we are not to judge, it's because we are trying to take the place of the righteous judge,
right,
who's judging, you know, either for to pass a sentence or to give reward.
Right.
But he is the judge,
yes,
okay? And we're not to be the judge. But we can make judgment calls.
Yes, correct.
And discernment and like evaluation or determination or distinctions about,
yes,
things. And just like, that's how I try to understand it, so as not to get confused about it. So it is not contradictory.
Yes.
You know, judge, do judge, don't judge.
Yes.
You know, we can do judge in this regard without passing a sentence or,
right,
you know, things like that.
Yep, good. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you have given us freedom in Christ, that you have nailed all of our sins to the cross. Not just some, all of it, Lord. And all that legal written code, Lord God, has been nailed to the cross with it. And you've given us so much freedom in Christ, Lord. But I pray in Jesus' name that we will not look down on other brothers because they are doing something or aren't, Lord, that's not clearly labeled in Scripture, or we won't be condemning folks that we think should be doing something and they're not. And Lord, just help us to find that common ground. Help us also not to use the freedom we have in Christ to be a stumbling block for one another, Lord. For you would never want that. That would be sin causing others to sin. So help us to use the freedom we have in Christ in a mature way, in a godly way, to help other people grow. Help us to be patient with one another, Lord, as they wrestle through with some of these things that aren't clearly laid out in Scripture, Lord. And if we're convicted in our heart about something, help us to listen to what you have to say about it, Lord. Not everybody else, but what you have to say about it, Lord. And for those things that are clearly labeled in Scripture, I pray that we would hold to that and nothing would shake us ever. Lord, I pray your blessing on this group, Lord, and this body right now, and help each one of us to become a strong brother, patient,
loving and kind as we watch and help others to grow along with us. I pray for that, Lord, that you would mature each one of us into that kind of a leader, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. See you Tuesday at the next week.
Jenny wants to try to figure out...